Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. Before we get into the episode, I just want to shout out a couple of our sponsors. If you guys support these sponsors, it really helps. It goes a long ways and it helps us be able to put out more episodes more frequently. I just wanted to give a shout out to Hunter over at Rider Industries. He stopped by my house the other day and showed me the new bipod they just put out. Let me tell you, it's one of the coolest bipods, the coolest bipod I've ever seen. My favorite part about it is once you have it set on the ground, there's a lever on the side and you can actually move it left and right, whereas other bipods, you'd have to pick up the whole gun and set it again. I think that's a really cool idea, and it really sold me on that bipod. Another sponsor I want to give a shout out to real quick is Art of the Hunt. That's Art of the H-N-T is how they spell it. They're doing some really cool stuff. I sent a few pictures of my strip buck to him, and then what he does is he creates a design or a logo out of it, and it's actually the logo on the Instagram and the podcast now that he designed. So you send your buck or your bowl or whatever into him, and then he designs a logo for you, and then he can put it on hats and shirts and phone cases, all sorts of things. And actually right now they're running a promo. If you order a piece of apparel or headwear from them and use the code LAUNCH2024, that's one word, LAUNCH2024, at checkout, you're also going to get a free custom phone case with your logo on it. So it's pretty cool what they're doing. Just kind of like another way to preserve your memories of your buck or your bull. And that's Art of the H-N-T, Art of the Hunt. So go ahead and check them out. But for now, let's go ahead and get right into our episode.
All right, guys. Welcome to this episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. We got an awesome guest with us, TJ Goodnow. He's good friends with Landon Whitworth, who was on the podcast a couple times ago. And I was super stoked to get to talk to him when he agreed to do the podcast. I think he's a really good deer hunter, and he has a lot of good stories. So thanks for getting on, TJ.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. So maybe just give us a little rundown of who you are and what you're doing, and kind of like, I get you're part of that strip crew that Landon does too, right?
Yeah. Been guiding with, I think I started guiding in 2013 with Travis McClendon, still with him. Just kind of been taking it, or haven't taken as many hunters lately. Kind of life's getting busy, but still getting out as much as I can.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it seems like you're always around these next-level deer. It seems, at least in your pictures and from what I've heard. So I'm excited to kind of hear from you and maybe learn a thing or two.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky on that for sure.
So before we started recording, we kind of talked maybe that you've been out scouting a little bit. How do you feel like out there is looking? Like, you do a lot on the Kaibab and that. Do you feel like today's going to be, I mean, this year's going to be good or average, or about how it was last year? What are your thoughts on that?
No, I think that at least the Kaibab is going to be about average for as much time as I've spent so far. I mean, a lot of them 180-inch class type of deer. It's looking good. There'll be a couple that'll break that, be right there at 200, break it, you know, 205. But I'm sure that mountain's hard. It'll, yeah. There'll be a, I won't be surprised when there's a 220 plus buck, you know,
out there somewhere. Well, I feel like I actually did a poll on my Instagram the other night, and everyone says that this year antler growth has been a lot better, like 70% of people. But from what I've seen in southern Utah, and I've been out to Arizona just a couple times, all the deer that I've seen last year are quite a bit smaller. There's maybe only like two or three that are bigger this year, in my opinion. I don't know if that's kind of what you've seen or what.
Yeah, as far as like the Ian around here on the Kaibab and the strip, it feels like they're behind almost. Like they're not quite as far along as they should be, you know. You go up on the Ponsagant, and it almost looks like deer are almost tipped out up there, and you come down here, and it's like, huh, another 2 weeks, and we'll see if you're going to have a cheater or something, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what that has to do with, or if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, but who knows? I mean, they're pretty notorious for packing it on late, so we'll see.
Perfect. Well, I've heard a lot of stories of about you guys kind of out where you're guiding and stuff, but that one buck came to mind, just like the most pretty buck you've ever seen, and cheaters, just has the look. I was wondering if we could kind of just get right into that story. I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, so that deer, that all started in 2019. We knew it was going to be a banner year, you know. We were all chomping at the bit. And I didn't have enough points to draw anything like the strip or any of that. So I started digging into, you know, these mediocre units that we kind of knew pretty well but didn't spend a whole lot of time in that produce a giant, and just figure 2019 every unit's going to have a giant, you know.
Yeah,
and I figured I just wanted a tag in my pocket, so I burnt like 13 points on a tag just to get it.
Uh-huh.
And I figured just, you know, go run trail cameras, can't find what you want, turn it back. You get to do that in Arizona, but
right,
better
right.
have it than not. So ended up drawing the tag, set cameras like 1st of June, figured we'd have everything by the end of July. I would know if I was going to keep the tag or turn the tag back.
I see.
And July comes and goes, and I don't have a deer to hunt, man. Like,
really?
Up, going to turn the tag back. And Landon actually convinced me, let him run through the end of September. You got nothing but time. Why not? So I kept scouting and running cameras. And at this point, I hadn't seen a deer that even got remotely interested. And
so
I think it was like
talking it up. That you're not even going to hunt this tag, and it's just.
No.
Nothing.
No. Nothing. I'm turning this tag back. And I think it was 1st of September, right there somewhere. Nah, end of August. It was about the end of August. I told Landon, I'm making one more long weekend trip. I'm going to go check them. And as I'm checking them, I'm going to pull them. And I'm going to go turn my tag back and focus on the strip because my cousin had a 13A tag.
Okay.
And so we were trying to juggle both, and it was starting to get hectic running cameras in both, you know. And I was like, yep, I'm just turning it back. So I can still pull the card on one camera. I'm driving down the road, check it. I've already pulled the camera, and I'm leaving the pond, and I'm checking the camera as I'm leaving, checking the card, and there stands this giant. First picture we got of him. Yeah, don't know anything about him. He just strolled in the middle of August, and it was like, oh. So sent a picture to Landon. I, right off the bat, I knew he was 220 plus, but I didn't really pick him apart.
Yeah.
Sent a picture to Landon, called him, said, what do you think? Is he worth 13 points? And he just started laughing. He's like, yeah, I think you better keep your tag. I said, I agree.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'd already pulled half the camera, so it was like, oh. So now I went back to scouting, you know, back to setting cameras.
Yeah.
And so focused on him hard, like, of course, number one buck, and spent a ton of time looking for him. Never seen him, and it was like, it was an early tag I had, so it starts like October, I don't know, it was like the 24th or something.
Okay.
And a week before the hunt.
It just runs to like, yeah.
Yeah, like the 1st of November maybe, or end of October right there, depending on the year. I'd look for this deer for two, 3 weekends. I never even saw a deer. And
jeez,
get up to one the week before the hunt, I'm out there setting up camp and getting ready to go. And I sat on the hill till like 11 o'clock, and I decided, oh, I'm going to run in, check the camera, because he had been hitting the water more regular. He, for some reason, he just showed up and started drinking. Every 3 days he was hitting. And
but was
point,
it all just like in the middle of the night when he was hitting, or did he ever hit during daylight?
No, like a week before the hunt, man, he was smashing at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, and I couldn't turn him up, and it was driving me nuts. But I didn't want to – the water he was hitting, you're either sitting right – to look at him, you're either going to be right on top of him and risk pulling him out, or sit back a long ways, like 2 miles in glass. And so that's what I'd been doing, is just sitting back in glass and trying to pick up – trying to pick him up. And he basically was just living on the water.
Jeez.
And so – yeah, it was a good situation at the time, and at the time there had only been two trail cameras on the water, mine and one other. Hadn't seen a person, it was looking good. But that week, week before the hunt, I go, it's like 11 o'clock, go drive in to pull the card, make sure the camera's good, change the batteries, you know, and there was tire tracks, like you cannot believe going to this water.
Oh my gosh.
No, the stress levels are high now.
Yeah.
Yep. And I come rolling up to this water, and I'm about, I don't know, half a mile from it, and he's bedded off the side of the road. And all I get is one quick look as he stands up and bounds away over the hill, 100 yards off the road.
And that's the first time you've seen him, like, not on trail camera.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And I'm like, oh, here we go, you know? And so pull down to the water, and there is 6 trail cameras on it.
No.
And I know he's been smashing it, you know? He's been there for 2 weeks, just every day, every 3 days, 6 o'clock in the morning to even hit it at, like, 5 in the afternoon sometimes. And it was like, oh, no.
Jeez.
So go home, had to work, worked a couple days that week, took a couple days off before the hunt, and I get out there, and it is a madhouse. Like, there's not very many tags on this unit, and I'll bet 8 of them were sitting there. It was like,
really?
What? Yeah, hadn't seen a soul all summer, not a person, but apparently this was a pretty well-known deer other than by us.
Okay.
And so kind of devise a plan, and I think we went 5 days during the hunt, and I think we saw 5 does, and we had quite the crew. I think I had 8 guys out there. Like, it's
really
a tough unit. Yeah, it's really tough. Very low density. And so I never even filled my tag in 19, but we hunted him till like day 9, kind of switched up to a backup buck and just didn't pan out, you know?
Yeah.
So fast forward to that spring and stuff, we put a ton of time into him, a ton. He kind of is one of them deer, you know, that just gets under your skin. Where'd you come from? What happened? Where do you live?
Right, right. And to your knowledge, like, you pretty much knew no one had killed him that year.
Yeah. No, we paid very close attention, knew some of the hunters that had showed up, and they said the same thing. They're like, never got killed, and so we knew he was still alive. And so we put a ton of time into him in the off season, just trying to look for him, all kinds of stuff, sheds, whatever we could get to just give us the next edge up. And none of that panned out. We've seen him. So 2020, we're going back, you know. We're bound and determined to get a tag. But in 2019, we'd all burn our points. Nobody's got any points. Like, we're tapped out. So we all throw in for it. Don't get drawn. I went and set cameras in 2020. We thought we might get a tag, so we went and set cameras way early. We ended up getting early pictures of him just to confirm, yep, he's alive, and then none of us drew. So it was just as bad as the strip out there with cameras disappearing. And so I was like, well, I'll just pull him down. You know, we don't have a tag. We'll just let it be and see what happens, you know. We've got to sit the year out, basically. So set the year out. Yep. Set the year out, and we're all just sitting on the edge of our seats waiting, trying to figure out what's going to happen. And lo and behold, he doesn't get killed. See no pictures of him. Everybody says, the few guys we know says, yep, he's still alive. Made it through another year. And in 2020, he'd kind of gone down. Not down. He was still 220-ish. But I figured we figured in 19 he was probably that 235, 240 mark.
Jeez.
So, I mean, he's still a great big deer. So, 21, again, we just keep putting time into him, kind of getting what we thought figured out. And 21, again, we decide we're all putting in again, going to go back. And for some reason, somehow, we drew two tags.
No way.
My cousin drew one and my uncle drew one. Like, we were legitimately running anybody we thought could do the hunt in our family, as far as physically wise, we were getting points. We were, you know, we're using your points. You're getting put in, running an app service, you know.
Yeah, that's funny.
And somehow we got two. And so now we're really stressing. We've got one shooter buck and that's it that we know of, but it's how are we going to fill two tags? But we really didn't care. We were there for one deer.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we started scouting early again. We put in a ton of time. Still never seen him. And he kept on that same pattern. He wouldn't show up on the water until about end of July, first of August, it seemed like, middle of July. But early on, he would never show up. So we had checked cameras, I think, twice and looked for him on three trips. And he's just a no-show. We didn't even know if he was alive. Didn't know if a lion got him or what. And so
no way.
We're kind of getting bummed. And because the next biggest deer we could find wasn't near that size. We were pretty bummed. And I kept telling my cousin, just wait. Well, he'll show up. And sure enough, we went out about middle of July, checked and looked for him again, and there he was. He'd come back in.
He was
looking just as good as 19. And that's when we really knew we had another shot at him.
Yeah.
So we rallied the troops again, spent all summer looking for him, could not find him. We actually started finding some bucks, but not him. Like, and nothing even close to him. And so it's kind of funny because the way this water works is they can come in two spots really easy. And he came in from the opposite end of the water that I'd only seen him come in from once or twice. And we had spent a lot of time that direction looking for him.
Uh-huh.
And we started concentrating that direction, come really close to the hunt. And pretty sure we cut his tracks and stuff like the week before the hunt, and we had a really good idea where he was at, but we still couldn't turn him up. And you're not going to go track a buck, you know, a week before the hunt.
Right.
And so week before the hunt, set up camp, look for him, nothing, cut his tracks, we figure. Opening morning, we go back in there and cannot turn this deer up. Like, six guys got it covered. There's one other hunter in there, and nobody sees a deer.
Jeez.
And it was like, this deer. So we're sitting there, and it was like 2:30 in the afternoon, and I just decided to walk over the hill and look in a direction that I was like, there's no way. Like, he's not down here in this stuff. Like, there's no way. And long and behold, there's one patch of cedars, and he's laid in them. And I can't tell
no
it's him.
No way.
Yeah, he's like
no
2.5 miles.
In the middle of the day.
Yeah, he's like 2.5 miles, and he's laid in the shade in such a way, and he's not moving. I know it's a buck. I can see the frame, but I can't confirm the trash. And so I run back, and in my, like, I knew it was him, but I couldn't tell, like, didn't see the trash to say, oh, it's him, go in and kill him. And
yeah,
it's just me and my cousin off the field, and he's got the tag, so I run back, tell him what I seen, what he's got to do, and it just so happened my uncle, we had him just up about a mile. So they all jump in the truck and get together, and I said, I'll stay and walk you in. We took my uncle just because his standards were a 4-pointer better, you know, old school. So we're like, when in doubt, we're going to get one of these tags filled right here, hopefully. But I knew it was him. And so they start getting in there. They pop up, and they're like, this knoll's 800 yards from him. And at that point, they could see him. And they confirmed, oh, yeah, it's him.
No way.
Yeah, so now the stress level's through the roof and everybody's on edge. First time we've actually seen this deer during the hunt, you know?
Yeah.
Second time we've only ever seen him on the hoof.
Jeez.
And nobody's going to shoot 800 yards, you know? And we've got like an hour before dark. And so we can make this happen, but it's flat, thick country, man. Like, it's not the easiest. So they come up with a plan, get in a wash and head out. But after they took off, they get about halfway cutting the distance, halfway, quarter of the way, and he stands up, starts feeding, and another buck walks out. It's like a, I don't know, 170, 175-inch 4-point.
Yeah.
That's with him. So I tell them, don't shoot the wrong deer. There's actually two and whatnot. But they end up cutting the distance to like 630 yards, and they have nowhere to go. It's walk across the wide open to the next patch of cedars that he's in, or that's it. You know, like, they are stuck, and the wind's wrong. We don't have time to circle around. And they radio, say, yep, we're going to shoot. Just watch. And Trevor ends up making a miraculous shot at like 620 yards and just dumps him.
No way.
Yep. And the other buck that was with him doesn't know what happened. His buddy just falls down, and so he's just hanging around. He won't leave at all. And so my uncle's like, I don't know, 300 yards behind him on the hill. So they start waving at him to get down there. So he takes off walking down there. He thought he was just going to recover the deer. He heard him shoot and got to watch it. Well,
yeah,
he gets down there, and that 70-inch buck will not leave. And so he's like, well, I'll shoot that. And so he starts shooting that buck and ends up killing it like 400 yards away from the big deer.
No way.
We actually killed both the bucks in the same setting.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. We never thought we'd kill one, let alone two.
Yeah, so you got to tell me, like, how was it, like, walking up on that thing after, I mean, this has been your third year watching them. Like, what was it like putting your hands on them and everything?
Oh, kind of bummed, honestly. It was great, but it's one of them deals, when it's over, and it's like, well, what next?
Yeah, it probably consumes so much of your time and energy and thoughts that you're like, he's dead, what am I going to do now?
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool, but yeah, that's what we all sat down and said, well, what are we going to do now? Where's the next tag?
Jeez. So what did he end up going the year you guys killed him?
He's like 235.
Jeez, just such a cool look that year too.
Yeah, if I remember right, he was like 235 and like 32 or 33 wide from cheater to cheater.
Wow, that's crazy. So, did you guys ever pick up his sheds or know of anyone who did?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
We know of the 2020 set and then the 2019. Well, I'm pretty sure all of them are picked up, for sure.
Yeah. But and so the 2019 was about the same as the year you killed it, maybe a little bigger.
We kind of heard it's right there in that ballpark, the upper 230s, touching maybe close to 240.
Jeez, that's so crazy. It's crazy to me that you guys, like, had – I mean, that's tough to do, not seeing deer multiple days or just seeing doe. And I mean, putting all your eggs in that basket, because obviously it's a once-in-a-lifetime deer, but not seeing them. Or, I mean, you'd see that deer two times alive and probably spent hundreds of days looking for them.
Oh, yeah, it's rough. Like, it's a mind game for sure.
And then what kind of stuck out to me, too, is, like, the day that you did find them, I think a lot of people would have been back at camp at 2:30, especially having the hunt, like, that the kind of hunt that is, like you said, like, thick country. They're probably deep in the cedars, or it's been challenging not seeing any deer, but you're still out there at 2:30. And just, I mean, if you were out there, you might not never found that deer.
Oh, 100%. I think we kill a lot of our big, or not even our bigger stuff, just majority of deer from 10 to 3.
Really?
Yeah, that's some of my favorite time of the day.
Yeah. And you just glass in the shade and hoping they get up and feed and you catch them?
Yep. I mean, at first light, I mean, I kind of think of it as like at first light, you know, they could be anywhere. They're up moving. Yeah, you got a good chance of glassing them, unless they're in a bottom or something, you know. Same at prime time, but at least in from 10 to 3 or 4, you know they're in the shade. Just start any bit of shade you can find. You know they're in the shade.
Yeah.
It narrows down some of that country at times, you know.
Yeah, no, that's actually really good advice, because I think people get discouraged a lot. Like, I know I've done it, like, I'm like, oh, they're going to just be in that thick feeder stuff, and I'm never going to glass them anyway, so. But,
for sure.
Then the other question I had, too, like, had you glassed that where he was bedded before? Was that, like, one of the first times you glassed that little hole that he was in?
That was one of the first times. I mean, it was, you sit on this hill and you're going to look at everything else because that's where the deer tracks are and that's where the deer country is, you know. And he was out in some stuff that, like I said, it's just one of them. It's the last place I looked because we were grabbing at straws and we were out, you know.
Yeah. So do you think he spent a lot of time there, like where you found him, or do you think he just kind of got lucky and found him there when he was there?
No, I do. Like, when we walked down in there to go get him, there were tracks in there 2 weeks before. Like, he had been living there. Him and that other buck had lived there for quite a while, at least the 2 to 3 weeks before the hunt. They hadn't moved, you know. They had found home, and they were sticking there.
That's interesting. It's crazy because, like, in 2019, I was like, I'm sure you or someone else would kill him if he's hammering the water that hard, especially in daylight. But then he kind of just probably felt the pressure coming in when more cameras were coming, so probably more people are hitting that water, more people are around, and then he knew how to survive, I guess.
Yeah, no, it looked like a opening morning of a 13B rifle hunt. With trail cameras, it was bad in a lot smaller of an area. It was,
yeah.
It was busy.
Jeez,
it was
so cool. That's such a cool deer, too. Another thing that kind of like intrigues me too is like I feel like a lot of, at least from the story, it seemed like a lot of like finding that deer was trail cameras. Like now that you can't run trail cameras in Arizona, you think a lot of those bucks, like that one, like just go unseen and maybe die of old age, or like what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, 100%. There'll be people that see them, but not very many. Like here to the general public, that buck would live and die out there and die of old age without trail cameras. There'll be a select few that know of him or seen him once or twice, but that's it.
Yeah, because it seems too like, I mean, you guys spent so much time out there without seeing a deer, but it would be hard to spend that much time if you're like, well, maybe he's hitting another water or he's not hitting this water that hard, like without the evidence that you guys had from the trail cameras.
Yeah, for sure.
So I kind of wanted to ask you, because this is something I kind of struggle with, but I'm trying to get better. It's like when I'm not seeing deer, it's like, especially for days on end, like how do you stay motivated, and like do you have any like tips or tricks, like I guess, to just like stay out there and stay disciplined?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know, man. Like, we've just got a good crew. Like, I can't tell you how many times it's like, I don't even want to walk up the hill again. I've been there for three or four glasses. Like, I haven't seen a deer. And it seems like somebody will always pick you up or tell you to shut up and get up the hill, you know. Like, do you remember what we're looking for, you know? It's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true, especially if you keep that in mind, like what you're here for, and I guess all the time you spend scouting too, like the odds of you going somewhere else and finding a deer like the one you guys had are next to nothing.
Oh, for sure. And being able to draw a tag, you know, that's a big part.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. So what do you guys kind of have lined out for this year, and I guess what are your plans? Any big bucks on the radar?
No, not. I mean, a few good ones. We've got some that on the strip that we're excited to go look for.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, see year to year. I bet it's looking pretty good out there. I'll bet it'll be average, you know. And I'll bet they're looking just as good as they were last year, maybe a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys have some rifle hunters out there, and then any archery stuff?
Yeah, some archery hunters. Got a couple.
Okay. Sweet.
So it ought to be fun.
Yeah, you guys will stay busy.
Oh, yeah.
So before I end, I just want to ask you a couple more questions. One thing I like to ask is just, like, what's something you know now that if you felt like if you knew like 5 years ago even would have like changed the game and helped you kill a lot more big deer?
Oh, patience for sure.
That's a good one. Just in what way? Just every way, I guess.
Every way. Patience in glassing, patience and letting the deer stand up, you know, when you've got them found. Like,
mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot. We've messed up a lot of stuff without some patience. Patience would have went a long ways on some bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good to know. But
yeah.
I think there's a lot to learn from that story that you shared, and that buck's just unreal. I just remember seeing the pictures for the first time too, and it's just like that's the type of deer you dream about. It's just got a little bit of everything.
Yep. No, he was phenomenal for sure.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a busy time of year, especially for you guys. But I just wanted to give you like a chance to let people know where they can find you and whatnot.
Yeah, they can look us up. I think it's Drip Crew on Instagram, and then I think there's a phone number on there. I think it's Landon's, but yeah, you'll get a hold of us one way or the other.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening to the Dirty Giants podcast. It means a lot, and I really appreciate everyone who listens. I know Nevada's archery has already started, and Utah and Arizona and everyone else is just getting ready to start. So I'm going to try to get out a few more episodes coming soon, because I know we'll want to listen to some during the hunt. And just wanted to wish you guys that have tags good luck. And if you kill a big buck, reach out and let's get you on the podcast and hear your story. Anyways, thanks again for listening.